Oh, that's right. We're right here on WCRS 98.5, 1450 AM, and of course streaming at WCRS.am. No, that's WCRS 1450 AM.net. Today, my very special guest is Prudence Taylor. She is the Executive Director of the Greenwood County Library. How you doing today, Prudence?
I'm well, Ann. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Just recouping from the day after Valentine's Day. In fact, I saw that Emerald had posted its National Half-Priced Chocolate Day or something at the grocery stores, etc. That's something to celebrate, as is 50% off all the jewelry and whatnot here at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyways, we've got a lot to talk about, lots of things going on. You know, the library is such a valuable tool here in our community. And one of the things its value is the fact that the library took on the responsibility of literacy for people that need to know how to read.
Well, our program targets adults. It's called Second Start. Originally, it was just called the Adult slash ESL program, Adult Literacy slash ESL program, but I applied for a grant and they wanted a cute name. So I thought Second Start sounds good.
Right.
And other people agreed. We got the grant. Very grateful to the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the American Library Association for that grant. That helped us expand our program and add Mango languages so that people who have access to the internet at home can continue to learn at home. Most of our students, though, come into the library and work with a tutor, and we really need volunteers. And that was one thing that I have not made clear before, and I fault myself for that, but the library really needs volunteer tutors to work with students one-on-one. That is the best way for adults to learn.
What do you have to be able to do as a tutor? What are the requirements?
You should be able to commit to 6 months, 1 hour a week for 6 months. You should call Dana Ellis, who's our volunteer coordinator. She has a short form for you to fill out. It's very easy. It's kind of like doing a job application the old-fashioned way, except you don't do it online, you do it in print. And then you meet with Dana and go over what you would like to do. If you want to work as a tutor in the literacy program, then she will give your form to Lois Strauss, who's our Second Start coordinator, and Lois will pair you with a student. If
Now, how does this work though? Because I think a lot of people would probably have a lot of questions about whether they mesh with that person. Is this going to be easy? And where do you meet? And all these kind of questions.
you meet at the library.
Okay.
It's safest for our tutors, it's safest for our students, but the library has great hours. We're open 9 to 8 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 9 to 5:30 Thursday and Friday, 12 to 4 on Saturday, and 2 to 5:30 on Sunday. You meet at a time that's mutually agreeable to you and your student. If you and your student don't mesh, that's fine. Just tell Lois. You don't have to tell the student. Just tell Lois, and she will find another student for you, another tutor for that particular student. She will go over materials with you, with the workbooks. I'm currently tutoring a gentleman who is from Mexico, and he has completed the ESL workbook series and is now working on the literacy workbook series, which, quite frankly, is hard for me sometimes. I don't remember all my grammar rules.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, in today's world and people using shortcuts with emails and this type of stuff, it is hard to remember all this stuff.
It is. But he needs to know, and I think everyone needs to know, that a smiley face just won't cut it a lot of times.
Why not, Prudence? It says everything.
This is true. This is true. But You can't really put that on a job application. And if you want to apply for a job, you've got to be able to apply online. As a matter of fact, for a lot of companies, that is where they start separating the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. That's where they see who can use a computer, who can follow directions, and who cannot.
Right.
That saves them time, but it may cause someone not to even get an interview.
Sure.
Or a job.
So if you have the workbooks and everything, then the idea is that you're following along in the workbook with these with the people that you're tutoring.
That's right. And then Lois has other items that you can use to help reinforce. She's got sheets, and you may have seen them in schools or school supply stores, but she's got sheets that focus on a particular grammar item, for example, long E, short E, long O, short O, and those sounds, that kind of thing. But she doesn't throw anybody out, sink or swim. She will work with a tutor. And if you want to sit in on one of the classes with her or one of the tutor sessions with her, you can do that. That is what I did before I started working with my student. I sat in on two sessions with Lois and another student and watched her work. And that really helped. It built my confidence, for one thing, because I was watching her and I thought, well, I can do that. I can do that too, rather. Because
well,
what she
important.
Does is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And of course, Lois has been doing that now for how many years?
We started our program in 2012. Spring of 2011, the Literacy Council of Greenwood closed its doors.
That was a travesty. That was a real travesty.
And that was a shame. It was. At that time, I did have people come and ask me if the library could take over the program. I did not have anyone on the staff at that time who could run the program, nor did I have any space to hire anyone. But a position suddenly came open in December of 2011. January of 2012, I hired Lois Strauss, and her first official title was Computer Lab Assistant. But I hired her with the understanding that she would become our volunteer coordinator for the literacy and ESL program. Lois had a strong background in tutoring. She had been a volunteer tutor for the Literacy Council here in Greenwood. And then after it closed its doors, she continued to work with her students. I think she had a family that she was working with. So I knew she was the perfect person. She was enthusiastic. She truly cared. And that has not changed. She is still very enthusiastic about what she does, very passionate about what she does. And I think you can see that I think volunteers can see that when they meet with her, for training.
How many people have been through the literacy program, would you say, since 2012? Was that right?
February of 2012, 421.
Wow.
And we've had 136 tutors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's terrific.
It really is.
Yeah.
We try to meet each person's needs. Some people are wanting to learn to read well enough to get into the pre-GED program at Piedmont Tech. Others are wanting to learn to read well enough to be able to read a story to their children at night or to be able to read the Bible. Others want to be able to live independently, I know we don't write many checks anymore, but some people want to be able to write a check so that they don't have to rely on someone else to pay their bills for them.
You know, I was thinking about this as we were getting ready for this interview. I was thinking about, how do you know how long to put something in the microwave if you can't read? How long, or whether you cook it on high, or then you cook it on low, or even cook a meal, you know, if you can't read a recipe. I mean, there are just hundreds of things that we take for granted.
How do you know how to take your medicine if you can't read a prescription label?
Or give it to your children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we think about that, you know, when people say, well, I don't really need to know how to read, you do need to know how to read.
Absolutely. I can remember when the internet came into public libraries, people were saying it's the death of public libraries. Everyone will use the internet. No one will ever have to know how to read. Well, now, if you cannot read on at least a sixth grade level, you cannot use the internet. It has not worked the way people originally thought it would. And libraries are continuing to grow. They've changed. Our youth has changed.
Right.
But I don't know of a single library that does not have a computer lab of some size in it, that does not offer computer classes. Public libraries are still around and continuing to be built.
Sure. And so it is something that is so important. I think the other thing that we don't think about, we think when you learn to read, you'll know it for life.
That's not true. It's like a muscle. You have to read. You have to practice reading to retain the skill, to retain the ability to understand what you read. We had a young man who had worked, well, he graduated from high school. He could read when he graduated from high school, and he went to work for one of the mills. But when the mill closed, he was laid off. Well, he wanted to enter a program at Piedmont Tech for retraining. When he took their test, he failed it because he couldn't read well enough to understand the questions. So he came in, and this has been a couple of years ago, he came into the library's literacy program, and someone worked with him. And after 6 months, he had gained enough skill to be able to retake the test, and this time he passed, and this time he was able to go for retraining.
But those are things that you just don't think about. If you don't have to read, you can lose that ability to read. That's phenomenal. I would think it would be something you would retain.
I would have thought so too, but I can remember my mother reading everything, but she read cookbooks, partly because she loved to cook, and also she just loved to look at cookbooks. My father read financial magazines because that was his idea of fun. But he also read car magazines, and he could tell you anything about any of the cars he wanted to own but would never dream of paying to own. He'd never pay for them. I mean, he always wanted a Lamborghini, but he never paid for one. He wasn't willing to spend that kind of money, and I don't blame him. I don't really know how much one costs, but I know they're really expensive.
But the bottom line is he read.
And we saw him reading. And then our mother read to us at night. And what we're seeing now, we're really working a lot with family literacy, too. We're seeing parents who cannot read well enough to help their children with their homework, who cannot read well enough to read them a bedtime story. That is so sad.
It is sad. And I tell you, when I think of Senator Tim Scott, he grew up in a very poor family. But his grandfather, one of the stories that he always tells, is that his grandfather would sit there with the newspaper at the breakfast table, and everybody thought he was reading the newspaper. But he didn't know how to read. But he was not going to have his grandchildren, I think, or his daughter, know that he didn't know how to read. So he sat there like he was reading it every day.
And that sent a message to his grandchildren, not only that, all right, they thought he could read. He conned them on that one. But that let them know that reading was important. And he thought reading was important enough for him to fake it. Ben Carson. He grew up in a very poor neighborhood. He was raised by his mother, single family, but she took the children to the library every day, and she made them read. She made them do their homework. She made them read. And as a result, we have a man who wrote Gifted Hands, who's a very gifted neurosurgeon.
Yes, and yet she didn't know how to read, I don't think. Did she in the beginning? I don't know if she did or not.
I know that she worked as a maid.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It was a difficult life, a hard life for them.
Exactly. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. Our very special guest today is Prudence Taylor with the Greenwood County Library. Would you like to be a volunteer? We could really use some help down there. They've got a waiting list of people that want to learn how to read. Can you help us? We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold! More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are with Prudence Taylor here. Now, Prudence, the program, if somebody's interested in being a volunteer or if somebody is interested in contacting you about getting some help with literacy and being able to read, what are the requirements for the student to be tutored?
Well, the program is strictly for adults. So the student needs to be age 16 or over and not in school.
So they can't be even in the GED program or no?
They cannot be in high school. They can be in a GED program, but the chances are pretty good. If they're in a GED program, they've moved beyond where we can help them.
Oh, okay.
They are reading well enough to where they are functionally literate. The GED program is tough.
I think it's become much tougher, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Much stricter. And that may be a great thing. I would hate to try to go for the GED myself, take the GED test myself, especially in
and
math.
And this is the executive director of the Greenwood County Library.
I'm here to build your confidence.
There you go. Feel good. Come to the library. No, Prudence, I mean. But what you're saying is that it's tough to go back to school when you've been out.
Absolutely. It really is. But if you want to progress in your job, if you want to get a job.
Right.
They're right now, according to Chad Charles, who's head of the Habitat for Humanity, there are 6,000 jobs available in Greenwood County, but we don't have people who can read well enough to get them, to apply
for
them.
Now, that's an astounding fact. 6,000 jobs that would be available, are available, and we can't fill the job market.
That's right. And we have people who want to work. We have people who apply, but they don't read well enough to complete a job application online.
Wow. That's tough. That's really tough. And, you know, if you don't have a home computer, one of the things you can do is use the library's computers there to apply for jobs, et cetera.
Absolutely. We have about 2,400 people using the library's computer lab in Greenwood, just in Greenwood, every month. And 2/3 of those people are using them to apply for jobs.
Wow.
We have more. Last month in January, we had over 8,500 people coming either into the library or onto the library's campus to use our wireless. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether they were applying for jobs or not. I don't know how they were using the internet. We do have a filter, so I know how they were not using the internet. We have a very strong filter.
Right.
But our wireless and our internet gets a lot of use. And with the people who come into the building, we do know that about 2/3 of them are looking for jobs.
Wow. That's an amazing statistic there. Now, of course, there's a couple of other things that we're going to be talking about with Prudence here. So you stay tuned. We've got the news in progress. Hey, we'll be back. You're listening to Prudence Taylor and Eller right here on WCRS. What?
I just feel like I'm
no, you're
blowing
doing fine.
This completely.
But that 6,000 jobs?
Yeah, that's what Chad said.
Well, no wonder companies have serious wonder whether they should.
Well, I didn't say that.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, Prudence, is there an age that you have to be a tutor?
You need to be 18 or over.
18 or over. Do you have probably a lot of retired people doing this?
We do. We have quite a few retired people doing it. We also have students from Lander doing it.
Well, that's good.
Which is wonderful. It's a good experience for them. And I think it's good for our students, too. There's
sure.
something less intimidating.
So anybody over 18 can be a tutor.
Yes.
You have to go and call 941-4650, call Dana Ellis to get into the volunteer program.
Right. And you may discover there's some other way you'd like to volunteer. We have volunteers who work with our book sales. We have volunteers who help prepare things for our children's programs. We have volunteers who shelve. But most of our, we have volunteers who work in the genealogy room. That is completely staffed by volunteers. Most of our volunteers are either literacy or ESL tutors or they're genealogy volunteers.
Now, how's the genealogy program going? I understand you just started a new class in that and just filled it up overnight.
Really? Yes,
yeah.
We did. It's going really well. They met yesterday. And I think they're meeting once a week. It's hard to remember now because it's the end of the day and my brain is dying, which you can probably tell. But that's going very well. And I'm hoping we'll get more volunteers from that. I don't want to leave that room open without a volunteer in there. And that's...
So what do they learn in the genealogy? How to search?
Yeah, they learn how to do their own searching. And it's really, genealogy is something you can learn by researching your own family. But they also learn how to use the online resources. The library has its own, we have a subscription to the library edition of Ancestry.com. We have a subscription to Heritage Quest. And then Family Search, which is something put out by the LDS Church, although it does not proselytize,
mm-hmm.
But it is a good resource just to look at, and it can be a good starting point. It can give you hints. Of course, whatever you find on the internet, you would never want to write down and take as gospel without checking it first in the original records, if you can get hold of them.
Sure.
And a primary record would be something like the census or a land deed.
Sure. Now, but that's a good point, because really, if you have a library card, you can use the Ancestry.com, the ones that you have there, to search. You don't have to go out and get your own subscription to it.
No, I have a subscription to Ancestry.com, and it's expensive.
Right.
But... then I'm addicted to doing my own family genealogy. I don't know why. There's nothing special about us.
You got anything you want to tell us that you found out?
No, I have nothing to share.
Okay.
I have nothing I'm willing to share.
Okay. Okay. But it is, but that is a good resource. Now, in order to have a library card, just in case people don't know how easy it is, and you don't physically have to go to the library once you have that library card, because you can access it through the internet right from your home.
That's right. You can. We have a digital library. You can download audiobooks. You can download ebooks. You can download magazines. As a matter of fact, I think we now have more magazines available in digital format than we do in print. You can, and our books, you can download children's books or books for young adults. And in the library world, a young adult is a teen, someone between grades 6 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, adult books. We buy the best sellers. And we're a member of a consortium with 16 other libraries. We don't have control, of course, on what the other libraries buy.
Sure.
But we do have a good selection, I think, that most people would enjoy reading.
So if somebody has a library card, now, if you don't have a library card, how do you go about getting a library card?
Well, it's very easy. You come to the library, and you go to the desk, and you can come to the library in Greenwood, in 96, or in Weir Shoals, or to the bookmobile, and complete a form, show your driver's license or a picture ID and something with your current address, like a piece of mail or a rent receipt. And how long it takes to get a library card depends on how long it takes the person to type your information into the computer. Most people, it takes them only about 20 seconds or so. If I'm helping them, well, it takes me longer to type, so it may be a full minute. But if you don't have something that shows your current address, you can still get a library card. You just come in, fill out the form. That day you can check out two items, and then we will mail the card to you. When you get your card, you can check out up to 25 items.
Wow. Now, the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is you, if you work in Greenwood, you can still get a library card. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. As long as you live, work, or attend school in Greenwood.
If you're a Lander student, you can have a Greenwood library card.
Yeah, we just need to see your Lander ID.
Sure.
The same is true for Piedmont Tech. If you're attending Piedmont Tech, but you live in Saluda, mm-hmm. We don't have a reciprocal borrowing agreement with Saluda County. And I don't know why, but anyway, we don't. You can still get a library card because you're attending school here. We do have reciprocal borrowing agreements with McCormick County and with Lawrence County. So if you are a Greenwood County resident, but you're closer to the library in McCormick, Paul Brown would be more than happy to see you. Of course,
That's
happy to see you, too, but
sure.
It may not be convenient for you.
Sure. So those are some of the things as far as having a library card. And once you have that library card, you can log on to the Greenwood Library site very easily.
Absolutely. And we have other things, too. We have DISCUS, which is a program sponsored by the South Carolina State Library. And it's wonderful if you are doing research or if your kids are having to do a report. It's a great resource with lots of materials about on different subjects, from science to social sciences, biography, just the
whole also thing. Don't you all have, or did you have a tutor program?
We did. We no longer have that.
Okay.
It didn't get a lot of use. And then some of the students who used it complained to me, and I'm serious, that these tutors refused to do their homework for them.
Darn, I hate when that happens. When you've got a tutoring service, they're supposed to do it for you, right, Prudence?
I
yes,
agree.
Yes, there you
See,
go.
See, Gracie agrees too.
Yes, all right. So that's, but there is so many resources. So having a library card is almost like having a driver's license. It's really a necessity.
I think it really is. And it's cheaper than a driver's license, and you don't have to take a test to get it.
Hey, there you go. It's great. Hey, when we come back, we've got more things to talk about with the library. Don't you go away.
Lay away. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, we're in the back of Sharp Facets Gallery. It is the day after Valentine's Day. We're still here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We still have 50% off deals. It is, if you didn't have to do something for yesterday because it just wasn't in the cards, but you know you're going to have Valentine's this weekend, you better come see us and save like never before. Also, if you have things to sell, broken jewelry, things you don't like or don't wear, just like to know about them, bring them by here to Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We're always buying and always looking for to see unique and different things. Well, we are talking about literacy today and how important it is. And how many people are on the waiting list, Prudence?
In January, there were 20 people on the waiting list. We have 8 literacy students, and we try to immediately put our literacy students with a tutor so they can work one-on-one. But we have 20 ESL students on the waiting list. Until they can be with a tutor, we have beginning classes, and they will go into a class, but ideally we'd like to put them with a tutor so they can work one-on-one.
Works much better than they're working one-on-one. Works much better.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it does. They get individual attention, and they're not embarrassed. One thing that we did not anticipate, and I don't know why, but one thing we didn't anticipate was that some students are embarrassed in front of others when they're first learning to speak English or first learning to read English.
Now, on ESL, does that mean you could be working with a student that has no idea on English, or are they maybe able to speak English but they can't read it?
It could mean either one. The student I work with did not speak English when he came to this country, and he could not read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so...
And he's not alone. We have several people who are like that. The issue we've run into with some of the students from some of the poorer countries is that they are not literate in their own language.
So they can't even read their own language.
No.
Wow.
So they're not only learning to speak a new language, they're learning to read for the first time. But these people are not stupid. Just because you can't read doesn't mean you are dumb. They are working very hard, and they have tremendous courage, tremendous determination to be a success here in this country. And I can only applaud their courage.
Absolutely. I mean, and when you just think about all the things that we take for granted. We talked about this in the beginning of the hour. Being able to read a prescription to tell you when to take your medicine, to be able to read a recipe or just a box to tell you how much to heat it, and all these kind of things.
Well, being able to read road signs so you know whether to stop or you know which way to turn if you're trying to go somewhere. There was the story, we didn't have this happen here, fortunately, but there was a man in Colombia who stopped and asked directions. He was delivering something and had the name of the delivery truck on the side of his truck. Mm-hmm. So the person he stopped and asked directions of knew what he was doing. Anyway, he sent him around in a square so that he wound up exactly where he had started from. But it was just purely mean on the part of the person. Excuse me. It was just so mean. I don't know. I don't have too much patience with that. It's so easy to be kind. All that person had to say was, I don't know where that address is, or show me your map. This is how you get there.
Sure. Well, that's the other thing. How do you read a map?
Yeah.
You can't read a map. I mean, you can't. I mean, even looking on a smartphone with it going along and showing you, if you're not don't know what road you're on, how do you know that you're going in the right way?
Well, I have OnStar.
Yeah.
However,
yes.
You have to be able to read the street signs to know when to turn right. They'll tell you.
Right.
Turn right on Hillcrest or whatever, but you've got to be able to read the sign that says Hillcrest.
Sure.
Otherwise, the computer person at OnStar gets very upset and starts spinning the little arrow around and around and around.
So, I mean, there are so many things that we take for granted. I mean, going out to dinner and ordering a menu or ordering off the menu.
That's right.
I mean, and here you are applying for a job. If you happen to have a job where somebody's taking you out to eat, you want to be able to order the filling out a job application. And yet we find out that there are approximately 6,000 jobs here in Greenwood County that have not been filled. And part of the reason is because the people cannot read well enough to fill out a job application online.
Yeah, or they can't read well enough to be trained for that position.
Either of those are very, very frightening things. So I guess, Prudence, you are pleading with people to come out and help get these people, because it does us all good. It helps the volunteer. I mean, I'm sure your personal experience in doing this, you've enjoyed being able to teach somebody and see them progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has made a huge difference for me. I started doing it because we needed more volunteers. And I told Lois I could do some, you know, give an hour to it a week. And she said, that's fine. I just sat and observed her teaching two times. That was 2 hours. And then I started working with my student. And it has enriched me. It's helped me. It's one of the things I do that I truly, truly enjoy. I personally don't like scrubbing toilets occasionally at the library. Although we all have to do
sure.
It.
But I mean, but of all the different types of volunteer jobs, even at the library, that one has to be most satisfying from a one-on-one in knowing that you are giving somebody the gift of being able to read.
Absolutely. That matters a lot. One of the reasons I became a librarian was because I wanted to connect people with ideas and information. This was something I never thought. As of October, I've been a librarian 40 years, which just doesn't seem like it's been that long. I never thought I would be tutoring adults who were not functionally illiterate, but it's a strong program that we have at the library, and I'm so glad that we offer it. And it's such an honor to be a volunteer.
I think that is great. So if you have an hour a week and you could volunteer, they'll show you how to work with a student, how to help. They've got learning materials, and it has to be something that in the end, that when you launch that student out into the world, that you know you have done another good thing for another human being, and it has to make you feel really proud.
I think it does. And one thing that we've seen, too, is some of the students who have moved on into GED programs or what will come back and volunteer as tutors themselves.
Sure.
And that's very rewarding to see.
Absolutely. I remember you telling me the story of the woman, or maybe it was Lois, but about the woman who wanted to be able to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just, that was her whole goal, was to be able to read the Bible. And in the end, she was able to read the Bible.
Absolutely.
So There's all different reasons. Being able to read to your child or grandchild is another one. And for them to be able to follow along in the book and know that you are also teaching them reading while you are reading this book, that's another huge one there. So, and it's not anything to be ashamed of if you don't know how to read.
No, a lot of times people were, this is especially true for our literacy students, they have learning disabilities that were not diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they had to quit school,
right?
To help out at home or to go to work. There are a lot of reasons why people were unable to complete school, and it's there's no shame in it at all. Everything, though, is completely confidential. No one will ever know. That's one reason that we have the tutoring rooms at the new library. When the Literacy Council was still in existence, people would come to the old library to work, and then all of a sudden they didn't. I knew one of the tutors, and I asked him why he had stopped, and he said, my student's embarrassed for people to see him working at the library. So when we built a new library, we were very careful to put in tutoring rooms, and they're used for all kinds of things. And you may not be being tutored. I mean, they're used for all kinds of things, but there's privacy there, so that no one knows what you're working on.
Well, it's just, it's truly a gift that you give to someone else. And if you're looking for a volunteer project, something to involve you, an hour a week. Now, I also understand if you're going on vacation or if you have an emergency or something come up, it's flexible.
Absolutely. If you are going to be out of town, if you are ill, just call the library and we'll call the student. And the same is true for the student. If the student is going to be needs to be out of town or suddenly they are called in to work, that's fine. They can call the library and we will let the tutor know.
That's right. And again, I think one of the other nice things is you don't have to worry because it is all done it's done through the library and at the library as far as a meeting place.
That's right.
house. Yeah. So if you have any of those concerns, I don't really think they have really tried to think of every reason to make sure that it is safe and it is secure and that you are going to be able to be a success, which is what this program is all about, a successful learning experience, learning program.
That's right.
So, Prudence, thanks for coming out today.
Thank you for putting up with me.
Oh, I always love sitting down and talking with Prudence Taylor, Executive Director of the Library. If you want to call the library and find out more about the program, give them a call. Their number is 941-4650. Call Dana Ellis to get started on that program. If you don't have a library card, make sure you get one because the world will open up and you'll save money. Just think about Ancestry.com. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.